CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It is the first clear spring day, and I mean by clear, the air has been cleaned of some of the stuff in it, but you don't even realize what you're breathing in most of the time. So when you've had a bit of rain, you're like, and Johannesburg's roads are all wet and like oily and weird because it hasn't rained for a while. So drive carefully if you're hitting the roads, because people, I don't know, they lose their minds. As soon as there's a little bit of rain, they lose their minds. Especially if it hasn't happened for a while. Like, oh, what's this water falling from heaven? I don't get it. I don't know what this stuff is.
Raindrops falling on
exactly. That's a great song, by the way. Every time I hear it, it makes me happy. So hello, Pumelele.
Good morning.
You're looking full of the joys of spring this morning.
I don't know, because...
Well, you're dressed for winter.
Because I was freezing this morning. And part of why I'm like, is because all my blood is rushing in my head because I was running here. I ran through the garden to get here.
Oh, okay.
Because
so
I
you were an
know.
Athlete first thing in the morning.
I don't know if it is between the rain last night or just... The time of the year, or my warm blankets, it was just so hard getting up
I know.
This morning.
But it is. So I went to an awards ceremony last night, so I only got home at like 11.
I thought about you.
Hey, I mean, like, so we won for our campaign with markets.com, which of course the people who listen to this show know well.
Whoop, whoop.
We got a nice little award there for markets. And cool news is they are probably going to be coming back soon with some more, so we're looking forward to that too.
So one in four is not bad, 25%.
Yeah, so yeah, we entered Beyond Madness, we entered Markets, we entered Catalytic, and we entered, who else was there? Now I'm going to get into trouble because I've forgotten the last one. Anyway. and on... over the weekend,
Bull Brand,
of course, and then over the weekend, Le Bang and Ryan's sports show and the 80s show that Dory does, all of those won awards. So we've had a pretty good week, actually. And in September,
we missed it last week.
I don't know. I didn't. I sent a whole bunch of my friends this thing that says, "What is today's date?" And it was this video, this woman dancing. It's like hilarious. 21st of September, right? Do you remember the 21st of September? All right. So we are already at the 28th of September, and we have. Yeah, I'm saving the thing I want to talk about right now for when we do the burning platform, because we're going to talk about something we have been remiss not to talk about yet for some time, and that is water. So we're going to talk to Anthony Turton, who of course is a prominent hydrologist and environmental scientist. And I'll tell you why I'm holding back until then when we get there. It's worth it. It's almost as if the universe conspired to give me a personal stake in this issue that we're going to be talking to Dr. Anthony Turton about.
Well, I will tell you, the universe conspiring. Yesterday morning, I spent some time out at Victoria Yards.
Oh, yeah?
And you know, at the back, I don't know, for those of you who don't know, Victoria Yards is out in Laurentville here in Johannesburg, around between kind of Bertram's, Laurentville.
It's a really rundown part of Johannesburg. It's kind of to the east of
Ellis Park.
And it's not a great place to find yourself at night, certainly. People who go and watch the rugby explained to me that after a game, people emerge from the shadows like a zombie apocalypse.
It's quite hectic.
It's
the
hectic.
Way that part of Johannesburg, so kind of Troyville, Bears Valley, all of that stuff, the way that part of Johannesburg has completely collapsed, it's got a huge migrant community.
No.
But there is also an oasis there, which is an urban farm and a Maker's Valley.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, this is a positive thing.
A whole lot of money has been pumped into, because it's across the road from our friends Nando's.
Yes.
Nando's Central Kitchen.
Right. I've been there for a couple of meetings. Yeah.
And across the road is this wonderful place called Victoria Yards. There are a whole lot of small factories there, as well as retail stores. So Tsepo Jeans, everybody
yes.
knows about this.
Okay.
Tsepo Jeans, their factory is there and their retail store is there. And they have, it's an urban garden. So all of the exterior areas have got like spinach and all, everything that's in the garden is edible.
Mm.
And it's for, exactly for that, right? It's for the community, for people in the community to be able to get food, and they grow it themselves and all
right.
of that. But it is also in the valley where the Yukske flows
past. I know where we're going. Okay, so save this. Just please, just save it, because I have no way of describing what a rude awakening I had this morning. I'll tell you about that later.
Can't wait.
Mm. So, lots of other things that are going on. I see the comments section is alive and well. And Proper Gender says, great achievement on these awards. Well, I've got to say, like, the reason we get these awards is because we've got you listening. So, you share in every one of them. And it's not some, you know, let me include everybody, like, trying to be a magnanimous thing. It's really not. I often think about it. If we did this show and it was just us, we were broadcasting to nowhere and no one was listening, wouldn't be a point.
Yeah.
Right.
Also because some of these awards need participation and
that
people
they
vote.
They all do. I mean, this is what...
People vote for it.
Every time we bring...
judge panels.
But even Pums, before any of that, if our audience didn't participate in the campaigns that we do with our clients, the clients wouldn't come.
Wouldn't come.
Right. So I mean it. Thank you, guys. It's always good to have, you know, your input and to have you supporting us, because we want to support our clients. So it really is a virtuous circle. Canthan Pillay is in the comments saying this conversation needs to get fire. Well, it's going to, Canthan. It will later. That I can promise you, he'll be in later. So Bakabantu says, you see, it's all our own people in the comments this morning leading the way, but this is great.
PTSD from UJ Torrent Fontaine.
Yeah. So Bakabantu says, Ellis Park Bertram's PTSD from UJ Torrent Fontaine days. You know, honestly, I do think, though, that that part of town, despite all the things that you've been saying now, is a great example of how quickly things can go really wrong when we aren't paying attention to the basics. And all around Johannesburg, I'm afraid what we're seeing is the opposite of what we're seeing in the Cape, which is that the little things are falling to pieces. And it's that broken window syndrome that got Giuliani elected in New York. Before he became Trump's henchman, Rudy Giuliani was the hero of New York. He was a guy who said, you actually have to, if you see a broken window, fix it.
Fix it.
Because if you don't pay attention to those little things, they very quickly become big things. Then you have fire in buildings and people dying. You have streets exploding. You could just see the total collapse of the infrastructure. And you end up with mayors who we call New York Bay mayors, but honestly, who nobody's ever voted for. No one. There are probably five people in this country who knew who this mayor was, Guamada, before he became our mayor. Probably five people in the whole country, right? Anyway, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. I also have to say, and Ryan, that speaker's really loud. Like, I can hear it in here. No, just can it if you can. Very irritating.
But, yeah, there's a couple
like
of
sounds. It's like
suddenly
there's a whole lot
here.
Of sound. Yeah. Like, what the hell? Okay, so the other thing that we did talk about yesterday briefly, and it got quite a lot of reaction because it was a fresh story yesterday. I got some more information from some of the people who were listening. So there was an EFF protest at the University of Pretoria yesterday where they blocked the turnstiles and were only letting black students through, because that's obviously a way for them to get attention. I said yesterday, you know,
is this because of the SRC elections?
Correct. Now, I have clarity on this from someone who messaged me, who actually sent me an email on it and said, hey, team, I'd just like to give you some context to the EFF-UP protest. Obviously, you know, people are outraged. It's like, how can this be allowed? How could this be tolerated? If it happened the other way around, it would make headline news all across the country. people would be going to court. The Human Rights Commission would be involved. The Equality Court would get involved. Everyone would try to get involved, right? But because this is the EFF behaving like children and we've come to expect that from them, nobody's doing anything. Either way, what happened was, according to this person, there were SRC elections a few weeks ago. Only about 24% of students actually voted. Same as in the country. Only a few of South Africa's people actually voted. Yeah. So candidates in different portfolios received approximately half the votes.
So that is how, yeah, guys, even at your own damn school.
Yeah,
even
exactly.
At your own damn school, yeah, and people ain't showing up to vote.
And they say that, you know, these things start at home. If your parents or you or a bursary or your company that you're going to work for one day to pay off that bursary are paying for this, should you not be interested in your broken window syndrome? Like, you don't have to stand for election, but vote in the election. Every student surely has a vote, right?
Every student has a vote.
So 12% of the students wanted these people in because it was half the people who got the votes, right? So the voting period was 2 days. It was done online. During that time, the EFF went around to all the student residences, knocking on their doors, trying to intimidate students in order to get votes out of them. It's completely, like, undemocratic behavior. Intimidation tactics. This didn't happen to me this year because I moved out of res, but in previous years, they've come and done exactly this to us, is what this guy's saying. Basically, it was reported to the IEC, all the candidates from the EFF were disqualified, and now they're protesting it, saying it is racism. So what do we think?
So I have two questions.
Mm.
So all the voting is online.
Right.
So how do they know who you have voted for? If they're coming and knocking on everybody's door, are they watching vote?
But maybe they're doing that. I don't know.
I'm interested.
But I mean, the intimidation would work for some people. You know, if you're in a res, let's say your parents are far away in the Eastern Cape. You're in a res. These guys come to you. They say, we'll make your life difficult. We can find out. You know how people do this? I mean, I'm supposing
this
now.
This is crazy.
It is crazy. But either way, if the IEC got involved and they suspended all the EFFs.
So the IEC administers all of these little votes.
Even student
everywhere.
Votes.
Yeah. Student votes, mm-hmm. SRC votes, mm-hmm. what do they call it? SGB, student governing body votes,
right.
All of those. So they administer all of those votes. You know how you do get rid of this kind of shit behavior, right?
Oh.
You fine the parties.
Well, I mean, by suspending them, look, whatever the IEC does, I'm not in the IEC, but they must have had reason to suspend them. So they weren't in the election. So what did they do? Instead of taking issue with the IEC if they think they've got a case, or if they've run out of options there, going around and apologizing to students and trying to sweet talk them rather than intimidate them, what do? They turn it into a race issue because that's the only way the EFF get any clickbait anymore.
So how are they at the gate? Where's the campus security?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, that's the video we played yesterday. And I feel like really that there must be, you rightly say, there must be fines for the party.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you are going around, it shouldn't be enough that you're just suspended from the election. You should probably also not be allowed to study there.
Absolutely.
Right. You're out. I mean, this is a public institution. You're out.
Like Julius Malema and his whoever, Julius Malema,
yeah,
should also feel the crunch. They should feel the pinch.
Well, they will because AfriForum are onto it. And, you know, whenever they do anything, they do it properly and they win. So it's going to happen. So we think the EFF are going to get themselves killed, says Gray. I don't know about that. Bakabantu says, so the VC of WITS, Adam Habib, back in 2016, got flack for not recognizing the EFF SRC when 20% of the varsity voted. The EFF won 60%, got seats in the SRC. By definition, they do not represent the majority. Yeah, but you see, this is again...
This is the flaw of democracy.
This is again, if you don't participate in it, you will get the government you deserve for not participating. I'm afraid, just like you have to use public roads, there are so many people in this country, including me some of the time, who've opted out of the system because we actually don't want any part in it. It's such a disaster. But there are some things you have to get involved in. Like I would love to have a little bit more sympathy. I have none for the EFF, But I would love to have a little more sympathy for the students at the University of Pretoria. But you know how I feel about tertiary education in the first place. I think it's completely overrated. Second of all, I think if you're not going to participate and the EFF are going to railroad you, that's kind of on you as well. And we need some courage. People in this country need to actually develop a bit of a backbone. And that includes students and stand up for themselves. When I was a student, I had so much of a backbone, I got fired from campus radio because I was saying what I shouldn't have been allowed to say. I was speaking my mind. I was being what a student should be, which is radical and revolutionary and full of opinions and vim and vigor.
Students and energy.
What
and
kind of
energy to change?
Yeah, what kind of weak
things.
Jellyfish do we have who can't even like get together? There are obviously more people in a res than there are EFF people going around knocking on doors and intimidating. Mm. So why don't you all get together and just fuck them up? Like, how about that? How about you do what, like, student? I see students fighting, and in my day, it used to happen all the time. People used to get drunk and.
Really?
Yeah, people got drunk and fought with each other in the streets outside clubs and things, and it just happened. And then the people who got out of line just didn't get out of line anymore because you might have been beaten up.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think like a little bit of violence is probably called for here. And I say that with
any of those things because I went to a very small college at the time. I mean, I don't think there were 100 of us at film school.
Listen, I was never at res. No, but film school, you guys are all like peace and love, right?
No.
Oh, come on. Of course. There's no violence at film
but they
school.
Were literally
only on,
like,
only on film. You only depict violence. It was
very few of us. Yeah. None of us want to get a bloodied nose.
I would love to see, just, you know, someone has to really stand up to being bullied and being pushed around because no one can stand up for you against a bully. And I'm not trying to blame the victim here, but you're a student. What do you got to lose by standing up for yourself?
Hey.
What do you got to lose? It's not like you've got a bond to pay or kids who are hungry mouths to feed at home or a job that you have to get to the next morning or stand up for yourself. What else have you – if you're not going to stand up for yourself as a student in your early 20s, when are you going to grow a backbone? Is it ever going to happen for you?
No, it's never going to happen.
Right. So stop being a jellyfish and grow a pair of balls for starters. Ooh. Stand up for these things you care about if you care about them. And go and vote in – like how hard is it to vote, especially online? They say the votes were online.
It's online voting.
Every student, if you can be at university, you've got one of these. And if you've got one of these, you can vote. So what, like other than actually pushing the food in front of you and saying to you, you must eat because otherwise you're going to die, how else do we get people to participate in things that have been set up so that you can have a say? Do you have so little self-respect and so little interest in your own future that we have to coax you in to taking part in the decisions that will impact immediately upon you in your closest environment, the students, the campus.
Did we have
campus?
Students? I do want to know from people who are on campus. People must send us messages. People who are on campus about how that whole thing played out. Because I did not see any of it on the news. I didn't see.
Of course it didn't make the news because it's not interesting to the media at all.
But you know what did make the news that I also would like to hear about, if anybody is out there in the comments? People who've survived the floods in the Western Cape this
Jesus.
Weekend.
I was talking last night at this awards thing to two of my friends who were there.
In the Western Cape?
Well, they've just come up for this.
Yeah.
They live there and they said it's really a lot worse than people outside of the Western Cape think it is. I mean, there are videos going around. Chapman's Peak, have you seen that video?
This is why I need to hear people who are there. First of all, Jesus. All our friends from the Western Cape, can we have some proof of life in the comments?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But also, let us know. Like, oh, here's Gray. House flooded.
House flooded. Well, I saw a video.
What is a floor whiz?
It's a mop.
Oh.
It's a mop. It's one of those things they advertise all the time. Someone sent me a video of someone's house in Franschhoek. The water was at like hip height coming through the door of this old farmhouse. Now you imagine, I mean, this is probably someone's house for like three generations or something. Wooden floors. Fucked. Right? I think of that stuff. It makes me ill. Shaq's Life says students are more interested in being Latweezy cults. Yeah, but you see, that doesn't mean we must give up on them.
Yeah, we're not giving up on the kids.
These kids are the same kids that think Pythagoras is a rapper. They're idiots, says Azalea. Yeah, but again, guys, like insulting them is not going to help. I'm telling you, what we've got to do is remind them that if they don't participate, then they're going to be left out of their own future. And that's not, you treat them as, these are, remember.
Also because this is like your everyday life, right? No,
but hold on, Pumi. These are people who are in tertiary educational institutions. These are supposedly the cream of the crop. If we cannot get the people at the top of the social hierarchy, now say what you will about how hard some people had to fight to get into university. I know all that's true. But the fact that they're there, that they have an entrance to a university and they have the ability to attend lectures and they have the ability to get a degree means they're in the top 5% of the whole population. And we can't motivate them to vote.
And setting up to be the leaders in society, because when you come out of there, you become the executives, you become these are the professionals and the academics, and well, that's what they're starting out that life.
Who do they expect to lead if not them? This is a big worry. And I don't want to labor the point anymore. We could get back to the floods in the Western Cape in a moment. I know it's a serious thing, but who do you think is going to make important decisions about your future if you aren't? Like, it seems the most fundamental question. Have you abdicated? And again, I'm generalizing here because there are probably a lot of students who.
So maybe a slightly different question, more than who do you think is going to make these decisions, is why they opt out.
Well, I can't read minds, but
I think that's.
I would love to know what's keeping you much more busy.
Yeah.
Than participating in your own future, what distraction have you been served with that has worked so effectively that you actually don't prioritize the very environment that you're in, that for many have been, you know, everything's been sacrificed for. How can you not take part in this? This is like someone who does not clean up their own house, make their own bed, does not shit inside the bowl. It's like the most basic stuff. And I don't know what's happening to us, because humanity's been on this amazing upward trend. We're getting better at everything. Technology's making our lives easier. We have the ability to do and say and be things we could never have been before in any other generation.
Listen, we have more technology at our fingertips than any other generation ever before.
Like the Library of Alexandria, which was open to people in the ancient world, is a thimble full of knowledge compared to the ocean that is available to you, and at very little cost, if any, because on campus they probably have free Wi-Fi all over the place too. So there really is no excuse.
Because your parents and your benefactors, if you're on a scholarship, everybody else is paying. But
everyone's looking after you like you're an infant, and you are the one who's waiting forever to take responsibility for your own life. I took the last money I ever took from my parents was in first year of varsity, and I failed one subject, and I decided that's the last time I ever take money. I paid them back for my studies, which I never finished in law, and that was it. After that, it was me. I was responsible for me, no one else. I'm lucky. I came from a family who care about me. I can always go back to them for advice. I can help them occasionally. They can help me occasionally in terms of like being around each other. But these people are in their late 20s sometimes.
You can't be in your late 20s.
For me, I'm telling you, there are a lot of these students
who
are permanently on campus doing nothing. I know, there were people doing that in my time.
What?
Yes.
No.
They don't want to grow up. They don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to enter the world of adulthood, because terms like adulting is hard seem to be the things that people say now. Like, come on, guys. You can't
adulting
expect.
Adulting is not a word.
And let me tell you something else. I heard at these awards, and often I hear people saying, oh, the millennials and the Gen Z kids, these are our future. These are the people who will lead South Africa. Show me some evidence, because Gen X seems to take responsibility for itself. It doesn't seem to blame anybody. It doesn't seem to be too obsessed with what comes before or after it. There's an ability there to kind of navigate the world, which the two generations I just mentioned don't seem to have. Maybe it's bad parenting. Maybe it's technology. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's all of those things. I don't know. But I'm sick to death.
Maybe it's too many options on too many things.
Well, then the options need to be cut down. And then it's the job of the authorities, parents, the institutions to guide these people in a positive direction where they're not just sitting scrolling all day or arguing with each other on Twitter or whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're just like living lives of like complete hedonism, pretending that they are doing something meaningful. Just get gun votes and then we'll worry about everything else. 25% of the students at the University of Pretoria voted in an online election.
That's crazy.
Let's start there. Before we worry about the EFF, which is downstream from that, start with that. And like ask yourself, what if a quarter of the people are motivated to take an interest in themselves in the future?
In their own school.
Like, I don't know what to say to you. Like, who taught you that other people are going to make your decisions and wipe your ass for the rest of your life? Who taught you this? Propaganda says, I evicted my 21-year-old tenant because of what you're saying. Total victims rules. Bakabantu says, it's a lack of personal accountability. I don't know. It's just, this is not a way for us to have any faith in the future of this country. The young people of South Africa, and I can't say I'm young anymore, right? So I'm talking about people under the age of 30.
Yeah, we haven't been young for a while.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm so old now, I wouldn't even get into the ANC Youth League. So let's talk about distractions for a second, because you've discovered Mbalinhlapo.
Hey.
We discovered her a while ago. We had Jane doing a... I am Jane Malachi, and I'm a housekeeper here for a while and like sharing her tips. But this Mbalinhlapo is blowing up. She's amazing,
what?
Right?
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. Good for her.
She's amazing. But you know what has been so wonderful to watch? And you all know that I can get into these rabbit holes of all these kinds of things, is how South Africans of all ages have just taken to the sound of this woman. And you know,
and she's
speaking of the millennials, like washing one fork and putting on a
and she's she seems to be loving it herself, which is great.
Listen, I just hope Robertson's
herbs and spices.
No, bicarb, because they make the bicarb.
Oh my god, everything she does is with bicarb, right?
I hope they like phone her up and say, listen, girl. Yeah. Here you go. All this content you are creating on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that bicarb and vinegar.
Well, that they are not sponsoring her means that someone there in their marketing team needs a clap.
Is asleep.
Someone needs a clap. So this is a direct call to action.
They probably don't know why they've suddenly got a spike in sales.
Well, they must find out. Like, I mean, then they are fast asleep. Is that Unilever? Who owns that?
Robertson's is owned by, I think Unilever.
Unilever, wake up. Get with it. Get on to Mbalinhlapo. All right. The other thing is, and I think this is so interesting, the new iPhone.
Mm.
Now, I don't know how into this you are, but we've talked about it. Last week we spoke about it. People are not excited about this new iPhone.
Really?
I mean, it's, you know, there'll always be Apple super fans who are queuing up outside the store all over the world and waiting, sleeping in sleeping bags outside there at night. Maybe that's what millennials are doing.
All the people
they're doing that
right now.
And someone in the comments says they're doing weed. This is what Azalea says. She says, my 23-year-old brother just wakes and bakes, literally doesn't care. He's living with a friend now. My parents kicked him out 2 years ago. Maybe that's part of it.
Weed. Azalea, I have this is a rabbit hole. I mean, the weed thing is a serious, serious problem. We talk about this at our office a lot because we work with a lot of young people. And how we think that the decision to decriminalize pot smoking for recreational purposes in a country like ours, fucking bad idea.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I've always supported it.
Maybe we actually read a judgment about alcohol. An older judgment about alcohol and Sundays. Remember, we used to, like, you couldn't buy alcohol on a Sunday here in this country.
I remember, because of church rules.
but there's so many things to weigh up in society. I think rules and access and information is also about responsibility. And we just, when you drive around a township today, and just see how zombified everyone is.
Yeah. So you think that might have a lot to do with it. And I don't think that's a bad point being made here in the comments. So yes, just because we are jumping around a bit. But this new iPhone, right? So how much does it cost? It's over 30,000 Rand or something now. Depending on which model, like how much memory you need or whatever. So I don't know how anyone can afford this, but...
People certainly not living and participating in the economy of Cyril Ramaphosa.
Definitely not. And, you know, I was looking at something last night, funnily enough, because embarrassingly, Rena ran out of data and she didn't know she had. So she had to buy more data and I had to hotspot her. I mean, this is like so embarrassing. But
hotspotting is my life with a teenager.
Right. But hotspotting. Exactly. So I was checking out my... unused minutes and unused gigs of data and all the rest of it. I have something like 6,000 unused minutes.
No,
Who
calls anyone?
I don't. So I looked at
call centers trying to sell you.
Last month, do you know how many minutes of calls I did in the whole month of August?
Call, okay.
Yeah, just being on the phone for a whole month. Do you know how many minutes?
20.
About that.
Really?
Yeah. For the whole month of August.
Yeah, because you don't have to call anyone. You know, we're WhatsApping everyone now.
Correct.
And I don't even turn on the ringtone on my phone anymore. Right? Like,
well,
after all the thousands spent in the 90s and the early 2000s to get like personalized ringtones, now we don't even like, we just leave it on vibrate. So my phone kind of lights up and vibrates when it's ringing.
And you usually... especially if it's an unknown number, which is, I promise you, half the calls I get are like exactly the reason.
Unsolicited.
Supposedly the reason we have Fika in the first place is because you're preventing those people. But whoever it is selling our numbers on databases, and I have not owned a car for a long time. Right? That's been like a couple of years now because I'm driving Phil from DeWitt Motors' car, right? And for some reason... I get a call at least once a week, but often more.
About insurance.
Car insurance. So I want to know how these car insurance companies are not being hauled in front of judges and asked why they are breaking the law. Because what is the point of the Poppy Act if these guys can phone us all the time? But I digress. So you want to know what people are doing with their phones to justify that they need an iPhone 15.
Yeah.
And I want to know the same thing.
Because truly, all we do is we're like WhatsApp.
WhatsApp, yes, absolutely, essential.
Social media.
Not even essential.
TikTok.
People are doing it, sure.
You're like TikToking and watching social media. What else?
Don't know. I mean, like, I do my banking on my phone.
Okay.
That could be another thing. So if I look at my most used apps, let me just go into my screen time thing here and I'll tell you. Because this is sometimes quite interesting.
So I'm still living in the old world where I actually use my actual card out of my wallet to pay. I see everybody with their Apple Watches and their phones paying everywhere. I'm still using my card.
I'm kind of pleased about this. I have spent on average less than 2.5 hours a day on my phone, which is good.
Wow.
Because it used to be a lot higher. I spend the most time on WhatsApp. My alarm clock takes up, because I've got like 10 alarms for this show. Photos, Instagram. That's it. But WhatsApp is by far
photos.
My biggest.
Photos. Photos. My phone is definitely my biggest camera.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I have
that. I don't even have another camera.
I remember all those many years ago when Ganeho was born, being clear that I want a good phone that has a good camera so that I'm always ready to take a snap. And
right.
It's nice now that he doesn't let me take pictures of him be able to look back and see.
So Seamus says, thank goodness for Truecaller. But
sometimes, which doesn't work so well on the iPhone. Yeah. I don't know why they haven't fixed that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is because sometimes it doesn't work. And then I don't know what they're on about. And it's like this is because number comes up and then I sometimes think, okay, well, this is a real like a business call or whatever.
Listen, I love it when the Truecaller does work and the whole screen, when a number comes up, the whole thing goes red and says spam.
Oh, yeah. But that hardly happens for me, so I'm not even sure. The uptick in calls, says Buckabuntu, is to subvert the law. The law covers up when it started. So before, they had an old database. When you get a call, it's to check if the information is still correct. So block. Yeah, so I started blocking, but eventually it becomes hugely labor intensive to block every call because they do change the number. They've got what they call those. What do they call it? It's almost like a number that keeps
like a searching number.
Yeah, it keeps like changing one of the digits so that you can't actually identify it. These call centers are getting clever at this. So Saint says, here we go. Here's an answer for you. I ordered the iPhone 15, not because of the phone itself, but rather my existing one's battery. It's departing rapidly and for the convenience of the USB-C. Okay. That could be a thing.
There was in Europe, I think they were taken to court, Apple, for slowing down the older versions. Because you remember, a new phone would come up and then your old phone suddenly just, it's like somebody pressed a button somewhere.
Yeah.
It's slow, the battery's dying, it's not responding, da, 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 da. And they actually would like stop supporting. And in Europe, they were taken to court that they got a, it was actually like built-in
obsolescence.
So that's
why we've got a
built-in
obsolescence.
Yeah. But now I'm going to keep my phone for a while. I think I keep my phone on average for about 3 or 4 years.
That's what I'm going to do. And I don't mind how old it looks. I don't give a shit about that stuff. It's not. So apparently SAA, here's some interesting news. South African Airways. Remember that we used to have an airline. Mm-hmm. A national airline. They're adding additional aircraft to their fleet in order to expand their flight operations and enable SAA to operate more flights to more destinations. We spoke to...
What? SAA? More flights?
Yeah, because they've got...
I haven't seen SAA.
Well,
in the
this
sky.
Is what they're going to be doing. We spoke to Mornay Dupre from Tour of Est Travel Services on Tuesday, and he said travel is not just back where it was before COVID, it's bigger and better. So we need more flights, right? So there's an opportunity here. So apparently SAA intends to increase its flight schedule ahead of the year-end holidays. 2 years ago, they exited a lengthy business rescue process. The restructured airline emerged as a much, much smaller entity. So you're right, they aren't flying as much. When it resumed operations in 2021, it operated flights only on a handful of regional routes and one domestic route. Since then, the network has grown to 13 domestic and regional destinations. The flag carrier is increasing its fleet size that can scale up to its flight schedule and route network. Well, that's probably good news. The more people in the market, the better.
One of the commissions that we're going to have very soon will be a commission on the dubious dealings of Pravin Gordhan. And SAA is going to be one of the big ones on that
commission. If he's lucky, he'll be dead by then.
Listen, Aziz Pahat passed away last night.
Yes.
But quite honestly, politicians here in this country of ours, their level of longevity boggles the mind.
Mm.
Because they...
The amount of crookedness should result in a shorter lifespan is what you're saying.
Bloody hell. Bloody hell.
Aziz Pahat, I just want to say, regardless of whether or not he was the most competent minister or whatever else, I only have two very brief stories about Aziz Pahad. First of all, I sat next to him at Thabo Mbeki's inauguration banquet, and I wasn't invited. And he was great company.
Gareth, what a menace. You were gate-crashing inauguration banquets.
Jesus. You see why I say students today don't have any balls. Like, that's the kind of stuff I used to do. Anyway, he was one of the most fun people I'd ever met in government. And I was like 21 or whatever.
And so your benchmark for fun was high.
Well, Aziz Pahad could handle a drink or three. And then the second thing about Aziz was once, while I was a student at the University of Pretoria, I went to the movies with a group of my friends in Hatfield. And while we were waiting in line at the movies, also waiting in line was the then minister, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, was his role at the time, and his wife, Sandra. They were also waiting in line like everybody else, no special treatment or anything, with all the students to go and see a movie. And I thought that was cool. So
no security, no
fancy anything.
How the times have changed.
Standing in line with the rest of us. And I thought, you know what? For all the things that people may say about someone when they're dead, those are only two stories where I have glowing reports on Aziz Pahad in both cases. So rest in peace, old man. I thought you were a decent human being. So you know what? Whatever else comes up, I take no responsibility for. But those two things made me like you.
Wow. That is a cool story.
Yeah.
That is a cool story. Well, we will see the stories today, surfacing today, because we do seem to be in that circle as well. Hmm. Where everybody's got a lot to say, but people have died.
Well, I mean, everybody had a lot to say yesterday about the renaming of William Nicol to Winnie Madikizela Mandela Drive. And again, it would be nice. It would be nice if they made the road better as well.
I saw a picture quite late yesterday of all of them standing, all the various Joburg council people, along with Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. And there was a sign, like they were standing by the road sign. I actually had and I don't think I've got OCD. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But that fucking sign, they couldn't get it right. The stenciling, they couldn't get the kerning right mm-hmm. between the D and the R and the... I was so mad. I was like, these people need their mother to like stand in front of them and say, are you proud of the work that you have done here? You know when your mother says to you, when your mother calls you in and you're supposed to have cleaned something or done something and they're just like, the hell is going on here? When you look at this, does this make you proud? Ooh. I know the black mother inside of me properly jumped out when I saw that picture. I was just like.
I did see this story, Audrey, because we were talking about the airlines just now. Audrey brings up the story about the BA pilot who was fired for having a night out in Johannesburg sniffing coke off of titties and then flew the plane the next day. Oh, yeah. You know, the funny thing is I actually think those stories are a lot more commonplace than people think.
I think so, too.
I don't believe these are the exceptions.
There's a movie with Denzel Washington where he's a pilot mm-hmm. cooked up out of his head. Mm-hmm. When I first saw that film, I thought, sounds about right.
Damn right.
I can see these guys getting into this kind of life.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Also, most of their job is like, it's automated.
My sister's boyfriend flies, he says he calls it driving the plane. That's all. He says he gets in, most of his job is this. And he's very good at it, but he said these days the machines do a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, most of the job is automated. Yeah.
So, again, no disrespect to pilots. I've got a friend, too, who flies, and he's terrific at it, and he's so into it.
It's like when you're driving long distance, and you have the car on cruise control.
Kind of get into autopilot.
Yeah, you have the car on cruise control, and you can just sit there like you're in the lounge.
We had a guy who flew for over 20 years without the proper paperwork, says Edith. yeah, that's true. I remember that story. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Okay. That's all we got time for there. We've got one or two other things. Pumi wants to talk about something which I think does affect all of us. And I realized I've lost a bit of this ability last night.
I, w- I actually, what made me think about it was because I know I saw you in the afternoon. Yeah. And so I was thinking about you. I was thinking, ooh, you're going into like the nether regions of small talk.
I hate small talk. And
how?
I used to be very good at this stuff, Pumi. I used to be able to go into a room and walk up to people and say, hi, how are you? And
always.
Like, how's your family? And, it was strange weather we're having today. And wasn't the traffic bad getting here? Did you struggle to find a parking? What's happening? What do you think is on the agenda for tonight? I can't do that anymore.
I was at a cocktail party on Tuesday afternoon. And got stuck in quite a number of those moments. And I just kept thinking, how does one get away from this without being... And that's why I thought I was going to ask you about it. How you get away from the small talk kind of death spiral.
Well,
do you just like look around and say, oh, look over there. I see somebody I need to go chat to.
I actually physically get away. So for example, I hate arriving late. So I arrive on time, which is a problem because if you arrive late, then you cut out some of the small talk. So I've got to learn to do that. But I just can't do it. Like, there's no...
No, you can't be late.
I have an inbuilt system that forces me to be on time. So that I can't escape. But I can escape actually talking to people. So I will go into an empty adjacent venue. Or I will go to the bathroom 10 times more than I have to.
An empty adjacent venue.
No, like last night was at this hotel and there's an empty room next door where they're getting the food ready. I'll go in there and I'll just...
Have a moment.
I'll just stand. Like I am not a reclusive person. I'm not a hermit. I've become hermity and I've become reclusive. And I can't do the small talk anymore. I mean, if someone wants to have a real discussion about stuff, even then, I'm like, I do this in the mornings, part of my work. I want to do this in my spare time. So I don't know what to do about this.
Listen,
a big problem.
Some people are pros at it.
Oh, yeah.
They can walk up to a crowd and just like have three small conversations.
I always think of politicians. I think of... You know, the British royal family, I think of people like that, that's their whole thing. Because you meet people for a short space. You can't actually have a serious conversation with someone. So you, what is it you do?
The British royal family.
What they do, right? They shake hands and they meet people all the time for like 20 seconds. If it's 20 seconds, it's mostly like five. So what? How did they do it for a living?
For a living.
Very hard work. I think they deserve their palaces and crowns and shit because I couldn't do that. I could not wait. It's a terrible thing to say. And I know it sounds ridiculous. I could not wait to get home.
Really?
And I was there with Rina. I was there with friends. We were at a table with friends, people I actually like. And there were other people there that I saw that I was genuinely
but
happy
that
to
is
see.
Not that is not small talk. That is, you can have a decent conversation about a lot. Small talk, Gareth. Small talk is like, ooh, these canapes are nice.
No, okay. So that's, I have a deep visceral reaction to that stuff. And then I need to get away. So I don't know. I went to the bathroom five times. And then I stand in the bathroom at the basin, and I don't need to wash my hands, and I don't need to pee. I'm just killing time. I don't have to get back out there with people.
So I think
I'm fantasizing. I actually feel the key, my car key, in my pocket. It's in my pocket, and I'm handling my car key like it's a lucky charm because that's my literal key to get home.
Well, listen, because one of the things that I'm clear about is now that we're well past COVID, this is going to be, we're heading into the first season that's going to be like cocktail party season again. It's going to happen. And I've been thinking about this. I really have been thinking about this quite deeply, that I maybe need like five topics. Just five topics where I can have a two-minute conversation about it.
Yeah, but this is all so illogical because we can come in here and we can sit and talk for an hour.
Yeah, but you're my friend.
Yeah, but also we've got people commenting, and we can react to comments. We can, it's a conversation. I don't know. We don't need special help. It's pathetic. I've become pathetic. I've become one of these cranky, weird people who just don't fit in anymore. I used to be so good at this, Pumi. I used to glide in there. I used to, hi, how are you? I was like, good to see you. It's great to have you at our event. And I was genuinely like happy to be a part of it. I find myself just...
I've got good news for you.
Just, what is the word? Crawling, fading into the background because I just don't want to be there.
Weird. I've got good news for you.
What?
Apparently, the first step is always acknowledging the problem. So you've acknowledged the problem.
Yeah, what am I going to do? And then? What am I do after that? Jesus. Yeah, Congo Chris is right. Alcohol makes other people more tolerable. That's a Christopher Hitchens quote. That's about right. That's about right. Oh, my God.
No, really.
I was thinking, if I get home early enough, there's some stuff I really wanted to read.
You were never going to get home early.
Well, this is what I think. So while I'm talking to somebody, and again, I don't even know if I should be admitting this on the show because now it's going to be, undoubtedly, it's going to be used against me at some point. But while I'm talking to some people, I'm not really talking to them. In my head, I'm thinking, if I leave here at 10, latest 10, I could be in bed at 11. And then, brush all that stuff done, brush your teeth, everything else. Then I could be in bed at 11. And then I could read a little bit until, let's say, 11:30, maybe 11:45 even. And then I'll still get 4.5 hours of sleep and be able to make the show. So I'm budgeting the night while I'm and then someone goes, and what do you think? And I go, yeah, I totally agree with you. Because I've just come back into the conversation. I have no idea what's been happening.
Well, the good news is that everyone that listens to the show, when we have stuff here and they come, they're not going to come up to you and like have small talk. They're going to come up to you and have a serious conversation. Maybe someone will come up and talk to you about...
Someone in the comments. The Roman Empire. Someone said in the comments the Roman Empire. But even then... Oh, my God. So Elon says the best way to avoid small talk is to say something racist. That's not going to help anybody. I feel you on this, Garrett, says K&A. I find myself waiting to go home from the moment I arrive. Sanella says, sometimes I feel like Gareth will just walk out at 7:15 in the middle of the GCS and we'll never hear from him ever again. It's going to happen. I'm warning you now in advance. That is absolutely going to happen one of these days. I am going to just not pitch for the show one day. And I won't be dead or anything, but you will never hear from me again. I will disappear into the woodwork. I'll go and live in a cabin in the woods, and it'll be done.
Disappear
just
into
gone. I will. I'll go. I'll just go. It's going to be away. So much. I cannot wait for that day.
Fly away.
Yeah.
Oh, you will miss it.
Well, no, I will not. The small talk time is the perfect time to go out and call your loved ones to check up on them, says lovely Lady Lee. See, there's some very good advice in the comments today. I say the best advice for showering with a 2-year-old child is to make sure that it's your child. Then people avoid me like a plague. Jesus, Darren.
Oh my God.
Wow.
At which point in the conversation, just like blurted out loud.
Yeah. Hardy Dave says, I can't do small talk when there's so much good stuff we could be discussing. I couldn't do small talk unless it was with my gramps and his fading mind. Shame. It's sad. MM says, don't worry, Gareth. These people are thinking the same things. Yeah. Alan says, I moan too much. Maybe.
It's okay.
There are other shows. You don't have to listen. Rebellious Ruth says, I also at some functions feel, I'm good or ready to go home before the dessert is served.
Oh, right. Before the dessert is served, yeah, my goodness.
I did that last night.
You did not wait for the dessert. If I am coming out, if I am getting dressed up, if I am coming out, if I am going to be in the midst of all of these people, I am waiting for that damn dessert.
I
am waiting for that damn dessert. And then I'm just hoping it's not Malva pudding and custard.
Wens says quite rightly, holding me to my own bullshit, you don't like camping, so you wouldn't survive a cabin in the woods. Yeah, okay, all right. Listen, we've got to talk to Professor Anthony Turton just now about water. I think water is fundamentally the biggest upcoming crisis and something we have to pay extra special attention to. We haven't spoken to Professor Turton in some time, and I think it is well overdue that we get him on the Burning Platform. So he will be joining us for a few minutes there, and Canthan is here, full force. He's ready to go too. So the Burning Platform is coming up next. Stick around for that and a whole lot more on cliffcentral.com. It is a Thursday morning. We have so much to talk about, unlike the small talk at parties, probably. Unlike that.
Real talk coming up.
That's what we do. Cliffcentral.com.